Father God, we thank you for this time that we can spend together. And as we dive into your word, might we more firmly be established in the life that you purchased for us through your son, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for what you've accomplished for us and for giving us access to our inheritance and our standing as children. And we receive it through your spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Please have a seat. Okay, so Pastor Greg mentioned some things, and they're worth mentioning again. And one of those things I want to mention, you gotta help me with the board. I bring it on the center. Yeah. If we get some, I don't know how. So, I don't know, guys, put it somewhere here. Put it somewhere over here. All right, so we're going to be in Hawaii, June 12th through the 20th in Kailua, Hawaii. Anybody been to Kailua? Yeah, Kailua? Yeah, good. Isn't Kailua the best? Yeah. All right, cool. So then, don't drop it. Back. All right, so we're going to be in Kailua, Hawaii, and it's a mission-ish trip. And the reason it's mission-ish is because we'll be having LRT in the evenings, and we're going to open it up to the community. We're going to do... we're going to have like vegan food, and we're going to open up to the community to come learn about vegan food and healthy whole living. And we're going to have some doctors being like, vegan food is good, right? And then we're going to have music, and people are going to be singing. They'll be like, vegan food is good. Nah. And then we're going to do some gospel preaching, right? And we're going to do that every single day for what, nine? How many days we do this for? 9 days? We do it for 9 days from Friday night to Saturday night, and everybody's welcome. A little more info on it will come to y'all in the next week or so, and we'll put some stuff on our website, lovereality.org. But it's basically the mission-ish part about it is that the mission is LRT, right? Preach good gospel to people. The ish part about it is that we're in Hawaii, right? So we're totally going to do day trips and excursions for people that come. We got transportation. You jump in a van or whatever it is that we have, and we're going to head up all over the island and just hang and kick it, show you some of our favorite spots for those of us that live there. And just vibe. And we're going to do it like guerrilla style. So that means you're not going to have hotel accommodations, but we'll get you a bed. We'll get you some food, right? We don't know what the cost is quite yet, just to cover food and bedding. But if you get a ticket out there, if you get to Hawaii, we'll pick you up. All right? And we'll spend a week together. So June 12th through the 20th, more information coming. You'd want to get there at least on the 11th, because we start on the 12th. All right? So you want to get there at least on the 11th and probably leave on the 21st. You can get there on the 12th, but we probably won't be able to pick you up that day. But anyway, we will. But anyway, that's an open invite. Yo, we'll send you a video this week. But anybody who's interested, check more details on our website and come. We're opening it up. I think it's like first 50 or 60 get the spots. So
you can get the coronavirus special right now for $99 each way.
Yeah. On Alaska, right? Alaska got a coronavirus special. So hop on that, all right? Because, CDC says it's all right, right? CDC, Christ destroys corona, all right? Bam! In Jesus' name. That's how Jesus got me to stop drinking. Christ destroys corona. All right, I'm done. Oh, let's see. What else? I had another thing. So here's another thing that that's been growing in our hearts is that we started seeing that every time we were up here, I kept relinquishing the microphone often to females. And females would speak in a powerful way, and they would say things that I can't say, or I can say, but it just won't hit the same, right? And we just saw that over and over. So what grew in our hearts is that we wanted to empower the females to actually speak to females in a powerful way. And so we're going to put the females first, and we'll get to the dudes later. But we have a conference coming up. It's going to be an LRT conference, LRT-sponsored. Love Reality is going to sponsor it, but it's called Daughters. And it's for the ladies. You'll hear a little bit more about it. But it's November 13th and 14th. And it will be held at, what's the place called down here? The thing on the conference? The Holden Center. It'll be at the Holden Center. So it'll be very local. right? And we wanted to do it local, mainly because we feel like this is very much home for us. So if we're going to test something like this, might as well, because at least, this is the thing, this is why we did it here. We're like, PVC will show up at least. Like, you think anybody will come? PVC will be there. So put that on your calendars, November 13th and 14th. We're going to have a conference for the ladies. It's going to be called Daughters. It is called Daughters. It's for women only, right? Even I'm not going to get on stage, I don't think. If we're there, we're going to be doing stuff behind the scenes, fellas. So there'll probably be volunteer sheets for y'all, all right? And so just want to drop that on the ladies. You'll hear a little more about it in the next coming days and weeks. And yeah, we got some speakers lined up and people and some workshops and that whole deal. Yeah? Good? All right, so listen, what we want to do tonight is we want to talk about just some very practical tools of what we've talked about so far. We talked about boldness and we talked about believing. And now we just want to talk about some very practical steps that we can take in order to communicate and things that we've been learning in our communication of gospel and one-on-one gospel. Has anybody found themselves desiring to share or even sharing and probably want a clearer picture of how to navigate that sharing? Has anybody been there? Right, so that's a little bit of what we want to do. We'll see where the Holy Spirit takes us, but that's exactly where we want to go. So let's say a quick prayer, and then I'm going to tell you things my Bible says as the Spirit leads. All right? In Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you so much for this evening. We thank you so much for the folks here, and we thank you that you see us through value and who we are in Jesus' name, and that we can see others that same way. So we receive that right now and impart to us more and more of who you are, and give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation to have an understanding of how to steward this great mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we pray this in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. So first things first, that is that let's turn to Luke 5, right? Because I've done this thing over and over, and it's kind of happened organically as I've shared gospel and as we've had others share gospel. And it's been this this question of where does the gospel begin, right? I don't think we've talked about that at length. We'll just revisit it here for a second. But where is it that the gospel begins? And Luke 5, what we talked about this morning, I think at least in a hidden sort of way, agrees with hopefully what we'll share here in a second. And Luke 5, again, that was verse 17 that we talked about. This was second service for y'all that were here in second service. For y'all that were here in first, this is new to you. But Luke 5, verse 17. I'm actually going to skip down a little bit. It's the story of the paralytic. We're going to go on verse 18. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because the crowd, they went up to the roof, let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst of Jesus. And I asked this question earlier. What is it that Jesus saw that gave him conviction? Well, it's very right. What is it that Jesus saw in the man that he knew that the man was not living according to his destiny and created value? What is it that the man had, right? He had legs, right? And if he has legs and he's a paralytic, well, then he's not living according to his created value and destiny. But did Jesus first identify him as a paralytic, right? No, if you actually go down, he actually sees him, verse 20, when he says, saw their faith, man, your sins are forgiven, right? So he first sees him. Well, I love just that it says man, right? And the word of man is one that, especially one that we would understand that man is whole, right? Man has a whole function, right? It's like, man, your sins are forgiven, right? And so that Jesus, the first and foremost, he sees him through created value. And he identifies him through created value. And it's from created value that he speaks the forgiveness. You with me? So that the first thing about our interactions, and this is as we have interactions with people sharing gospel, is that the gospel begins not only in preaching, but in actual face-to-face proclamation when we see somebody through their created value. Because that's where God saw us, through our created value. You understand? So that when in Matthew, when the text in Matthew says that, is it Matthew 13, 41? Somebody check it with me. Matthew 13, 41, 42. That there was a man who was walking in a field and saw a pearl, right? And what did he do? He went back, sold everything that he had in order to buy the field so that he can have the pearl, right? So what is it that he found? He found something of great value, and it was such great value that he esteemed it greater than all that he owned. And so he was willing to give up everything so that he can have that which was valuable, right? And what is that field that he bought? That field that he bought is actually this here earth. Because the territory, the geography that Jesus Christ has actually won in the battle with the enemy is this territory, right? The enemy is the prince of the power of the air. Jesus has reclaimed the territory that was lost through Adam 1. He reclaimed it, now stands victorious over it in Adam 2. And so he has the field. But what's the pearl that had such great value that he was willing to give all of heaven up so that he can have this earth? It is the sons and daughters that belong to this earth. So that when he comes to us according to the created value of sons and daughters who belong to this earth and were created to prosper and have righteousness in this earth. And so when he sees us through that created value. And that's the frame in which he sacrificed everything to have us. The frame that he saw us through first was the very frame he created us in. He predestined us, he chose us, and he blessed us in him so that when he came for us, he knew where we were, he knew what we were, even while we were stuck in our deception. Right? Does he then speak to us according to the consequences of our actions? Is that how he frames us? Does he frame us according to our condemnation? Does he frame us according to our acts? Think about the woman that gets caught in adultery, right? And she gets brought before the Lord. How does he position her? Says, woman, where are those who accuse you? What does she look? She actually looks up and sees them nigh, not there. Right? And what does he say? Well, how does he position her? And note, oh man, it's so dope, because look how he positions himself. He positions himself so that she can actually grow in confidence and in safety in his presence by speaking this word, like, neither do I condemn you, because that's not how I'm positioning you. And there's a very, very real lesson here that as we share and as we interact with folks, right, we're going with some practical stuff tonight, that as we share and as we interact, we do not position people contrary to their value. And so when you speak to somebody, I would actually encourage you to measure your words and watch what's coming out so that we're not positioning somebody according to their deception, right? As opposed to actually having them be seen according to value. Right? I was actually talking to, y'all know Hui and BB, right? I was at the house. They can't come out because Siona just had surgery. Siona just had surgery, little baby Siona had surgery because he had some enlarged tonsils, right? And I'm talking to Hui, and I don't know, we were talking about this, about talking this tonight, and he said something about like how we deal with, and forgive me if I get this wrong, but how we deal with the queer community, right? Like, we cannot frame the queer community from our antagonism to what we think is deception. Like, that's cool, but we can't frame them that way, right? And Hui started laughing. He's like, yeah, man, we can't just go up to people like, you gay? Like, that's not, we can't do that, right? So how do we frame them? Even if we have our commitments, which we do, right? Y'all know what I'm saying? We have our commitments. I got my commitments. I know I'm in Portland, but I still got my commitments. Sorry, right? But we don't frame people according to our commitments. We frame them according to their created value. So that when we speak to them life and prosperity and abundance and blessing in Jesus' name. It is never God's work to condemn somebody, to correct. God has never condemned in order to correct, to bring conviction. Conviction comes via his kindness, because it's his kindness that leads men to repentance. So when we're actually speaking to people, we speak to them according to kindness. Now, that does not mean that in kindness, we somehow move away from our commitment. It's actually being so established in our commitment that gives us the freedom to speak in kindness, because speaking in kindness does not threat our committed stance. Right? I got some fans who are understanding over here. That's good. That's good. But do y'all understand what I'm saying to you? Listen, when you know freedom and when you got it, your deception does not threaten me. I don't need my freedom to be established by you receiving it. Like, you don't have to receive this freedom for me to feel better about this here thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, Like, y'all know I got what I got, right? Why? Because I've seen the Lord work in my life. I've seen him work in y'all's life as a corporate body. I've seen him work in my friend's life, and he's working in our lives. Like, God is evident. And we're so established in this thing as we're living in the secret place that I don't need my belief to be propped up by your reception of it. It's precisely because I believe that I can offer it so that you might be free, right? So value, that's the one, that's number one, is we speak to people through their value. Everybody has immense created value. Think about the story I was talking about with Morgan, about this young lady who made a choice with her pregnancy, right? This young lady who makes a choice with her pregnancy. I mean, let's be honest. What is the cultural conception of Christians in relationship to that sort of choice in pregnancy? Do those people feel supported by our corporate body? Do they feel as though while us taking a very firm stance on the sanctity of all that which comes from God, while taking a firm stance there, if we have sanctity on all that which comes from God, we recognize that the person that's sitting in front of us that made this choice was also somebody who came from God, so that then we speak to them according to their created value as well, even as we're honoring the created value of the thing in their womb. We can't honor one at the expense of the other, right? Like, Jesus Christ would never do that. Hey, think about this, y'all. Did you know that Jesus was never wrong? He was never wrong. Can you know a time when Jesus was wrong? Oh, he's like, oh, I got that wrong. Yeah, you're right about that. Like, I mean, like in the testimony of Scripture, right? There might have been a time where it was like, oh, let's go this way. This is a shortcut. And like, no, Jesus is this way. Oh, for real? Okay, you might not. I ain't from around here. Right? Like, that might have been a thing, because Jesus never went down that street, right? Like, in that sense, like, Jesus never went to that part of Jerusalem yet. Like, no, we go through this alleyway. Jesus, okay, cool, yeah, I'm with you. But you know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't wrong about the things about life, right? You understand what I'm saying? So, if Jesus never wrong, watch this, though. Jesus was never wrong, but he didn't take every opportunity to correct and speak on it. He was never wrong. And when he spoke, was he always speaking the truth in love? Yeah. Yes. And notice that even when he had opportunities to speak the truth in love, it wouldn't be love to actually speak. They're like, this. Go back to Adam 1, Adam 2. This is just this practical stuff. Y'all know what I'm saying? So we were. What's that? That's right. I got things to share. You're not ready to bear, right? And then the Apostle Paul comes and starts sharing them. And they're like, whoa, fella. Right? So think about this. When Jesus is in front of the Sanhedrin and he's being accused, is he right to defend himself? Is it legally right for him to defend himself? But had he defended himself, would he have hardened their hearts even more? So like a lamb to a slaughter, he did not open up his mouth. So when he was reviled, he did not revile. Why? Because he saw them through value, and he knew that even in speaking, he would reduce his ability to actually establish them in what he created them for. So he was willing to be killed in order to reveal how much value they had to him instead of being right for the sake of his correctness. Right? So we always see people through value. Now, here's the deal. You cannot see through value unless you've seen yourself in value. Right? You love others in the same way that you love? You love others in the same way you love yourself. So we have to see ourselves in value. And what's the value? How do we see when we see what God says about us? Man, it's Saturday night. Y'all ain't going nowhere. I was about to say, can we break something down real quick? Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 24. We got to mix it in. Para la raza, right? You got to mix it in. She go, what's your ethnic background?
Hispanic.
But from where?
San Antonio.
Oh, Mexican? Mexican?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hispanic from where? San Antonio. But that's true if you've been to San Antonio. Yeah, that's true. That's so funny. Ethnic background, Hispanic from where? San Antonio. That's good. Where were we going?
James.
Listen, this happens every Saturday night we have one of these meetings. It gets squirrely. All right, look at verse 22, James 1:22. I want you to see something. And stop me if we've already covered this, all right? But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. You have to be doers, not only hearers, right? For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently into his natural face in the mirror. For he himself, he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Right? What have we heard? That passage from our people that have been to evangelistic meetings. Can somebody help me interpret that passage real quick? Come on, I know y'all been to them. Somebody help me out. I will throw a marker at somebody. Listen, I know y'all know how this passage gets interpreted. Oh, that's it's close. We're there. But this looking into the mirror, be doers of the word, not just hearers, because a person who is a hearer, not just a doer, is like somebody who goes to a mirror, sees himself, and then walks away. Right? Pastor George? Heck, I mean, listen, when nobody else, you got to default to the pastor. You want to pass the buck to Greg? Because we can.
I'd like to defer to Pastor Greg.
You like to defer to Pastor Greg? That's all right. Like, you see that? He saw you through value. He was like, that boy's smart. That boy's smart. He's going to be able to tell us. Tell us that we're going somewhere. I promise we're going somewhere, my beloved. Tell us what the...
Well, are you including verse 25?
You sure?
Okay. So
tell me what the tried and true sort of interpretation you've heard.
I think the tried and true interpretation is that when we look at the law, we realize all the things that we've done wrong.
We look at the law, and it's like looking in a mirror, because right. We look in the mirror, and then what do we see on our face? You see the dirt, right? And we walk away, right? But now we can't just be hearers of the word, because if we heard that we're a little dirty, we got to be doers of the word. And what does that mean? We got to work, and we work out our salvation in fear and trembling and scrub that stuff off, because you can't go to a mirror and see your marks and then walk away and act like they're not there, because that's what the law does. The law is able to, right? Am I the only one who's heard this interpretation? Y'all remember, I'm super Adventist. Yeah, I know y'all have heard it too, right? But brother Greg, can you please tell us which law is this that we've just looked into? What does it say there? The perfect law of what?
The perfect law of liberty.
Interesting. The perfect the law of spirit, liberty, huh? Right? I want to draw your attention to James chapter 2, right? Now, James chapter 2 is this, and I promise, we're still talking value, all right? James chapter 2 is this idea of not showing partiality, right? Don't show partiality. Why? Because you've been blessed with so many things that you don't need anything from anybody to put them on a hierarchy so that you might position somebody in favor so that then they might think something good about you, right? This is what James is talking about. He's saying, Jonathan, if you're running Love Reality, right? And Love Reality needs some donations, right? Matter of fact, we have a donate button on our website now. Did you know that? Anyway. So there's we need some love. And my buddy, you know, my buddy Justin comes in, right? And Justin, he's on that ministry pay. You know what I'm saying? So that means thank God for Emily. That's what that means, right? So Justin comes into church, and I'm like, hey, Justin, what's up, man? How you doing? And I sit Justin down right here, front and center. Give him the prime spot, right? Because I love Justin. But when I see the doors open up, and here comes Pastor Greg. And you know Pastor Greg on that other ministry money with that Dave Ramsey tip, you know. I mean, he's just rolling in it, right? And so I show you, right? I tell about your car, right? I show partiality to Pastor Greg because I think he has something that I want, which is the money and the status and the favor. So I treat him a little better than I treated Justin because I'm showing partiality because I'm still positioned in scarcity for trying to get something by showing him favor. We good? Watch. Look at James 2. Verse 4. Have you not then made distinctions amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Right? Verse 6, but you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you? Right? So James is saying, we don't do that. That's not the way we operate. Look at what verse 8 says. If you really fulfill the what? If you fulfill the, verse 8 is royal law, not law of liberty. Because what's the royal law? The law of the kingdom. But the royal law is the one that he spoke to his whole nation when he was king. And he told them, this is our covenant. Do you know what law that is? There's only 10 of them. That's the royal law. Because that's the one that belongs to the nation. Watch, I'll show it to you. If you fulfill the royal law, when they asked Jesus, what's the fulfillment of the law? What did he say? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. James says the same thing. He says, if you fulfill the law, which is to love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing what? Well, but if you show partiality, what are you doing? And what does the law then convict you as? So the royal law, will it convict you as by the law as transgressors? Does that say that right there? Convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable to it all. For he who said, look at the example. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit. So what law is he talking about right there when he talks about the royal law? The Ten Commandments. And if you're behaving according to the Ten Commandments, right? Like, if you fulfill them all, you're good. But if you're egregious on one, you're done. So if you're the sort of person that is showing partiality, what law are you demonstrating that you're under? You're under the royal law that convicts you as a transgressor because you're transgressing. Does that make sense? So as you're transgressing and showing partiality, you're demonstrating what law you're under. Your conduct demonstrates what law you're under. Are you with me? So when you show partiality, your conduct is demonstrating that you're still operating in Adam 1 and there's a law for him. Are you with me? So verse 12. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under what? The law of liberty. So if you're judged in the law of liberty, don't show partiality, because to show partiality is to show that you're operating Adam 1 and you're seeing people through the value you're ascribing them through your own brokenness, instead of treating them according to the very law of liberty that set you free. So that when you look into the law of liberty, you see yourself not as a sinner because the law is highlighting you, but the perfect law of liberty calls you son, it calls you daughter, it calls you to stand in the fullness of who you are. But if you walk away and show partiality, you're like somebody who's looking in a mirror and has forgotten who they are. That's what James is talking about. So be a doer of a word, not just a hearer. And how can you do what the word tells you to do? You do not frame people through partiality. You frame them through the law of liberty that has set you free. So we condition and frame everybody we see through there. Does that make sense? And if you think I'm lying, if you're like, well, I never heard that interpretation before. Don't worry, neither did I. But Spirit was like, hey, we got something to tell you. I was like, are you sure? And then Eddie came in and Eddie was like, yeah, he told me too. All right, well, if Eddie said it. Go with me to 2 Corinthians, just so I can show this to you. You already know where I'm going, because it completely agrees, right? Yeah, where are we going?
You judge no one according to the
Exactly. We're going to 2 Corinthians 5, right? Why is it I can't find Corinthians?
It's after 1 Corinthians.
So go to 2 Corinthians 5. It's right here. Thank you. I'm like, it's right here. I see it. It's in my fat fingers. 2 Corinthians 5. Look at verse 16. You there with me? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. For now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the... So we're not regarding them according to the flesh, meaning that the law of the commandments that's actually highlighting the deficiency of the flesh is not the law we're operating under. So we're not operating just the limitations of the royal law. We're operating according to the Spirit. So we're operating according to the law of liberty that calls us sons. So if it calls us sons and daughters, how then do we see others? First and foremost, y'all see what I'm saying? Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. If therefore anyone is in Christ, he is what? Yo, this is so dope because you get to prophetically see somebody through their intended design and speak to them the goal of their life. And then you invite them to participate in that which they were created for because it speaks according to this thing. Right? This is why bickering over carpets. Right? We've seen churches just come asunder over dumb stuff because we're not seeing each other through value, not understanding who we are in light of his perfect law of liberty. And we're the ones that have gone to the perfect law of liberty, have received it, and then walked away not understanding who we are, thinking we got smudges when what we really have is Christ in us, the hope of glory. So that was just, there's seven of these, so it's going to be a little bit. One, value. So like when Morgan sat down with that girl at Chipotle that made that decision with her pregnancy, she wasn't seeing her through the choice. She was seeing her through her created value. That's what she was able to offer. And the reason that Morgan could see her through created value is because she knew she was seen through created value in the secret place. You have to live from the secret place because if you don't have intimacy with your father, you won't frame your reality according to his love and will frame everybody else according to our own condemnation. So then when we framing people through our brokenness and condemnation, we then make our conviction their obligation, legalism. You tracking? Listen, man, I'm going to be like George Bush. Just, hey! Only old people got that reference, right? Because that's like two presidents ago, right? Here's what happens when we see value, and this one's going to be really quick, that when we see value, when you see people through value, every single person becomes a candidate for the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Everybody's a candidate for the Holy Spirit. Every single person was created to be filled with Holy Spirit. There is no person that we encounter in this world that was not intended to live through Spirit. So if they're intended to live through Spirit, you speak to people according to their value and intended life. Right? And so everybody is a candidate. Everybody's a candidate for kingdom. Right? So everybody's a candidate for Holy Spirit. So then what happens is that you then start to get speak to people according to what the Spirit would say. You never speak outside of what the Spirit would say. And what's so dope is that when you hear the Spirit in your own secret place with the Father, you then begin to discern his voice and style of speaking so that in the same way you're spoken to, you speak. Amen. Right? How do kids talk when they're young? Right? The way their parents talk. Right? Like listen, we're from the Northeast. We're from Boston and New York cities where we grew up. I went to high school and college down south. I went to Arkansas, then to Texas. I came back home, and I was saying things to my sister like, oh, what you fixing to do later? She looked at me like I had three heads. She's like, what is wrong with you? Right? And I was like, nah, what we finna do? She's like, finna do? What is that? It's a very slang terminology from the South. Or I started using the word reckon. I reckon. I reckon. We're from Massachusetts. We don't say reckon. Right? Right? And the other day, my sister sends me a video of my nephew, right? My sister's New England to the core. Like, she's super in the Northeast. Like, not just New England, but Northeast, like New York, Boston. She's that sort of person. She sends me a video, and it's my nephew on my sister's lap, and he says to my sister, he goes, Mommy, can you put on Paw Patrol right quick? We do not say right quick. In the Northeast, we don't say right quick. She looked into the video, and she looks at me. She's like, I lost him. But what is it that's going on? Caden, my nephew, is speaking according to his environment. He lives in Chattanooga, Tennessee. His daddy's country, right? And his daddy says stuff like, right quick. He's like, let's go clean your room right quick, right? He says stuff like that. So Caden is saying right quick. Why? Because he's speaking, as he's developing language, because he's three, he just turned four. As he's developing the ability to speak language, he's reflecting the way he's spoken to. When we begin to speak to others in relationship to kingdom, we speak to them the way we're spoken to. So when you hear a brother or a sister harp on, and y'all can fill that in because y'all know good and well, y'all been under that before. Or maybe you've been the person. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's universal language for like, y'all know what it is, right? You could be rest assured that what are they hearing from their father? Right? So what does that tell you? It tells me that they ain't listening to the right father. And that ain't my father. You see what I'm saying, right? Or they're hearing their father through a wrong filter, right? So that when he speaks in kindness, the enemy takes that. The Bible tells us the enemy takes the Lord's seed, turns it around, and we hear it as condemnation because of everything that's at work, right? No longer. So we speak through value, candidate for the Holy Spirit, in the voice of the Holy Spirit as we hear it. Is that all right?
Yeah.
All right, number three. These are all things we're learning. It's crazy. Number three. Since everybody's a candidate for the Holy Spirit, right? There's only one place that you can lead people to. Like, there's only one place that Holy Spirit leads people to that agrees with their value and with what the Holy Spirit came to do. You know what the one place that speaks people's value in the greatest revelation and agrees with the work of the Holy Spirit? The cross, right? Now, here's what's so dope. It might be like, all right, Jonathan, so I'm speaking value to people. How then I leverage that to the cross? Really easy. Because if it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, the cross has become your story. And that's where testimony comes in, right? So as you're talking to somebody and you're talking about this life, you say, you know what? I used to be this, but now I'm that because Jesus came into my life and revealed my value and my worth. What are you talking about? Man, have you heard before that the cross is where, like, Jesus is angry at sinners and he's like the wrath of God or whatever? You might have heard stories like this. It's not like that. Because the cross is really where God demonstrates how far he's willing to go to tell me that he loves me. The cross is how far God was willing to go in order to reveal my value. Because the cross is where he removes sin from me to expose my value, because I was always a candidate for the Holy Spirit. And that's now my story. Is that okay? And I promise it's easy. Like, it's simple. Like, it's super simple. I mean, I'm at the, and again, I've shown this to you before. I was at a coffee shop. It was just super easy, a coffee shop. And I like this girl's tattoo. I'm like, oh, those are clean lines on your tattoo. And she's telling me all about them. I'm like, oh, that's so dope. I'm like, that's beautiful that you have that creativity. All of a sudden, I shifted from her tattoo, and then I started speaking value to her. Right? Like, that's so dope. Where'd you get these ideas? Oh, what do you do? Oh, you're thinking, you're creative. Man, that's dope. That's a beautiful talent. Oh, thank you. Hey. I was like, man, I can appreciate that so much. Oh, can you? Yeah. You know, before I couldn't. So, like, oh, why not? I used to be trapped in deception and I can't see people for who and what they are. So, what do you mean? Well, I used to be like this, but now because I'm different, I can see you for the beautiful person that you are. And people love hearing that. Oh, for real? Well, what changed?
Got him.
right? Why? I mean, it's like, I really is, when Jesus was like, yo, the harvest is what? Right? There's people waiting to know their value. People are thirsty for God's love, and we have the privilege of being positioned in belief and boldly speaking to people according to their value, according to what Holy Spirit says, through the story of the cross, which is our story. Right? Like, it's and once you share it, here's what's dope. After you share it, it becomes the fourth one becomes kind of like, it's the place where you step in and you get kind of like, ugh. This afternoon, I called Eddie, and I was just telling Eddie about the stuff that has happened last night and today. And, you know, Eddie's a wild boy. So there this afternoon, they were well, I'll tell you another story, man. I shouldn't share this one. But it's the same sort of setting. We're at a gathering, right? We're at a gathering together, and it was similar to what happened today. We're at a gathering together, and Eddie sees somebody, and this person, like, you could see questioning in their face, right? Eddie just goes straight up, starts talking. And Eddie's got this thing down where he does it just in a minute, right? Where he just reveals about, oh, I saw you. I wanted to talk to you. Look like you had people start, they might open up, they talk. He's like, yeah, why? Because he's seen him as a candidate for the Holy Spirit. And he finds a way, like, I used to be this, now I'm that. Like, what do you mean? And Eddie tells his quick testimony. Oh, man, I committed adultery. I was this. Jesus did this for me. Matter of fact, that's my wife right there, ministering. These are my little kids running around. People get like, whoa, right? And then this is the move. Like, do you want this life? Do you want it? Because like, people are in it. Do you want it? Yeah, I want it. Okay, cool. Well, let's make it happen. What did I just do there? It's an invitation. It's an invitation. Right? Spell it right, Jonathan. Invitation. And so you make an invitation, and once you make an invitation, it's the next bit. Because people will be in it, they'll be tracking with you, hear the story, and it's like, man, now I'm living different. Okay? Well, do you want it? And some people will be like, oh, nah, I ain't ready. And that's cool, because it doesn't cost me a thing. All right, man, that's cool. You sure? Yeah, all right, well, I'm here if you need me. Why? Because I've already established this. You know what happens is that when we're sharing this stuff, we're so deeply identified with the content of what we're sharing that then if they refuse the content, we feel as though they've refused us, because our confidence is in the content, not in the creator. This is why then when you tell somebody like, hey, we're going to go feed some homeless people, and then on the other end of the phone as I'm telling somebody, hey, we're going to feed some homeless people, they ask me, like, are you going to give them a Bible study afterwards? No, I'm not. Why not? Because they're hungry. They can't eat paper. And what's the idea? That as you serve them, you got to deliver them content, because our sense of who we are is tied up in the content. And unless we're giving them content, we can't actually justify our reason for being. Uh-huh. Come on now. I know y'all know this is true. Right? Right? Well, it's not only entire Christianity. That's just the deception of the world. Because people that don't have God in this world have content that they're tied to. You have to believe like this. You have to speak like this. You have to resonate like this. You got to do this with your money. You got to vote here. That's just deception. It's universal. It doesn't matter if you're on this side of the aisle, that side of the aisle, on this height of the class system, on this lowness of the class system. It's ubiquitous. Because we're always identifying ourselves through our content, because we haven't understood who we are in light of the Creator. So when we make the invitation and somebody doesn't receive it, yeah, it's cool. You know why? Because my content ain't going to change. Because I'm not as good as the content. I'm good as He's going in me. And since He's never going to change, I'm solid. And next time you want to visit, I'm going to tell you the same thing. Like, because here's the problem. If you reject me, then maybe my content wasn't good. Maybe I got to go back and fiddle. Maybe there's something I didn't figure out. Maybe there's a secret chart in here that we didn't quite piece together. Because had it all been, you know, dotted every T, crossed every I, then they would have believed. No. You like that? You dot every T and cross every I. You're the only one. Did anybody else hear it? And we're like, something's wrong with Jonathan. Right? You're like, stop listening to this guy. I do those things on purpose because they're the things that humor me. Right? Yeah, do something while you're up here. So you make that invitation, and once you make the invitation, you literally lead somebody into confession. Confess. Because now, as you've spoken the truth of their value, the truth of what they were created for, the truth of the revelation of their value and worth, and you've given them an invitation, once you've established truth, this is all truth. Truth, what's going to happen here when you invite them to it, Spirit is going to teach them what it is that's the obstacle in the way from them receiving this. You hear what Pam said? He said, and it works. Yes. Right? Why? Because what happens is you're speaking truth. You're speaking truth as it is in Jesus, because it's only in the Spirit that you can see somebody through their created value. And the Spirit brings truth. And the truth brings comfort, for there is comfort in the truth. Truth. Everybody's a candidate for Holy Spirit because you were created for it. Truth. I once was this, now I'm that, because he who is truth revealed it to me. Truth. The invitation, something that Jesus taught us. Truth. You can't speak that much truth without the lie now being highlighted. You can't deal with real money for 3 years and then feel a counterfeit bill and not tell the difference. You understand? Right? You can't tell me 2019 is hip hop. I grew up when it really was hip hop. You know what I'm saying? You can't sell me that lie. You understand the principle I'm trying to bring out? That as you're speaking truth, operating from truth, loving people in truth, when you make the invitation and they say yes, they're responding to what? Truth. So what will the Spirit of truth begin to illuminate? Truth. And what will get exposed? The lie. So you actually invite somebody like, hey, do you want this thing? Like, what's up? Yeah, I do. Cool. And once they're there, then it's just, all right, this is the part. It's confess. And number six, and we'll talk about these together, is repent, right? And confession and repentance right here, this is directly Spirit. Right? This is a Spirit. You just make the introduction. Right? So when Morgan's sitting there in the Chipotle and this girl has made this decision with her pregnancy and Morgan's telling her the truth as it is in Jesus because Morgan's seeing her through her created value and seeing that this girl's a candidate for the Holy Spirit and speaking the power of the cross that speaks forgiveness over the choice she made. And that then through the power of the cross speaks that strong word of forgiveness in her life and just offers all this truth to her. Then she's like, do you want this? And at that point, that girl's putty in her hands. Yes, I want it. So she makes the invitation and she introduces her to Holy Spirit. And what does that look like? It literally looks like, Justin, come up here. Like, this is the way that we've been learning to operate in it, right? Like, we genuinely, matter of fact, oh my goodness, that is a trip, isn't it? Yeah. Tell them what just happened. Okay, there's the mic.
So what was it, how many months ago?
I don't know, man.
Year and a half-ish.
Yeah.
We were at that diner in Hawaii, which maybe we get to go on a field trip.
Yeah.
If y'all come out to Hawaii with us this summer. But there was that moment that we're talking about in the Jeep, out of the parking lots, leading me through this whole thing. Do you want it? Yes, I want it. Cool. Confession. I speak the truth. God, I accept what you have done.
Tell him about confession. Tell him, man.
Oh.
You don't have to tell him what you confess. I mean, tell him about about in that Jeep, about leading to confession, the power of bringing it to the light, all of that.
I don't remember that moment too specifically.
Well, just keep going then.
All I'm saying is that we went through this process, speaking the truth. I think really what it was is that the truth of it was, I guess, confessing the truth. Okay, so one of the pieces of confession is, yes, you confess the lie that exists, the thing that, you know, I might have believed that I was worthless, that I wasn't able to overcome a sin in my life, fill in the blank. The confession that's involved with that is also, well, what is the truth state of it? What does the Bible teach me about this? That sin is actually a defeated opponent, that I don't have to overcome sin because sin has already been overcome and God grants me victory. So this is what confession is. And so I repent from the lie. I turn away from the lie that I must work out my own salvation in this, like, I'm the one that's responsible for my own salvation. And I confess and I repent from that, and I turn to the truth that it's already done. And so I simply say, God, I believe by faith, even though I don't understand it all the way quite yet, I believe it because I see it, and so I receive it.
And so the moment that we just had right there when I hugged him is because inadvertently I asked him to come up to do the example, and I realized that it's like, it's just kind of full circle because I actually went through this with him 18 months ago. And
this was the moment where nothing changed, but everything changed. There was no feeling. There was no like aha moment. Angels didn't descend and sing in unison. It was like, so that's it? Yeah, okay, cool. Well, let's go back to the
So then
the
tell them about Loomis a little bit, how then you were able to do it.
So several 6 months later, I've been walking in this for myself, and I get to the opportunity to minister to someone here in the Portland area, and we establish freedom in gospel. We go through Romans, the whole thing, identity, value, all these things. And so it's funny because as we're going through these Bible studies, we're talking about these things, and Michael has all the right answers. Like, he's like, when we talk about your relationship to sin, he's like, I'm free. But like, even though he says he's free, you can see on his face he is not free in the least bit. And he's posturing the same way that I was posturing. Like, I hope they don't see through my whole, like, facade.
And
like,
here's the thing, that when you're living in truth, you totally do.
But even though you see that, like, that's not where you operate from.
Yeah.
Even though you can see that, no, they still have a veil over their face, you don't treat them this way. You don't treat them as less. And one of the things that I've treasured in my experience with Jonathan is that even when I didn't understand my own value, he still gave platform. He still gave opportunity to the extent that he was sacrificing of his own capital and time and energy because he saw through value as opposed to through deception. So being able to live that out when it comes to Michael, even though he had all the right answers and I could rightly perceive that now he doesn't quite have it, we journey with him for weeks and months. And then we're in this tea shop one afternoon and he's clearly wrestling with all of this. And simply we say, well, dude, like you have all this. We just presented an invitation. Do you want it? Like, do you want to be done with the thing that's holding you back, that lie that you need to confess? He's like, yeah, I want it. Okay, cool. Well, here's the good news. Like, it's done. Let's pray. We lead him through this prayer. We do the confess and repent. And he looks up, and he looks exactly how I looked in that Jeep.
Amen.
Like, was that the whole thing? And I just simply get to tell him the truth. Bro, it's okay. You don't have to feel a certain way. Some people might feel a certain thing. There might be a tension. There might be an energy. There might be whatever it is. But I didn't have that. And yet, that's the moment that nothing changed and everything changed. So I speak that word over Michael. Michael receives it, and he'll tell you that that was the moment that nothing changed and everything changed because we did this.
And because Justin was able to, we're still going to do the example. And because Justin was able to establish Michael on the night, I think it was the third or fourth night of wave two, when you went in on Isaiah 53, the Spirit of the Lord was able to take everything he had been receiving, and that dude got broke right where you sit. And if you go back and you watch YouTube and you see it happen, do you see it happen? I'm sitting right here. Like, go back and watch. I think it's the fourth night, maybe. It's the night where BB shares the body night, and then you did Isaiah 53, right? And just as, like, I'm sitting right here and Eddie's sitting over there, and out of the corner of my eye, I see Michael just, boom, goes down, right? And you, like, when you look, you know, right? Gospel's being proclaimed. This man was going in on Isaiah 53. Y'all remember? Y'all remember that night? This guy's going in on Isaiah 53. I see him begin, and I look over at Ed, and Ed looks at me, and he's like, And you remember that you were turning, you began to use language of invitation, and I was like, go, right? And you made a call, and just as you're making a call, this dude just, right? And I remember I pointed at Ed, I'm like, and I point him over him, and they descended on Michael, right? And led him through this in prayer and confession. And this dude got established and is living in identity is something fierce, right? And he has been. We stay connected on Polo. He sees him all the time. The dude is, boom, living in gospel, right? Because he got a revelation, right? And why? So this is how it happened. We were in the Jeep, and it doesn't always happen this way in the sense like what I'm about to demonstrate. But if I can, I'll do this. I will talk. Valley, right? yeah. Use that's fine. And we give him the invitation. And when I give him the invitation, like, man, you want this? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, listen. Here's what we're gonna do. We're just gonna ask Holy Spirit to come right now, and to just give you a revelation of what it is that's blocking you from, like, do you feel that there's something? Like man, I don't know.
I don't know what it is.
Cool. Well, we're just going to ask Holy Spirit to come and say something and see what he says. But you want to turn from living this way, right?
Absolutely.
This is how you're qualifying somebody for repentance. Because if you've named the truth, you've given them an invitation, and they want to turn from where they're living, you start naming, like, you don't want to live this place. No, I don't. All right, let's ask Holy Spirit. So now you're positioning them for repentance. Because if the lie gets illuminated, they can see it and turn from it. Confession, repentance. Right? So then I'll literally put my hands out, and I will pray, and I'll pray value over them. And I'll pray according to everything I've said. So, Father, I thank you so much for Justin. I thank you for who he is, that he has destiny, legacy, that he has abundance in you. And Father, right now, I know that you long to dwell with him and that you want to be united with him. And Father, right now, Holy Spirit, we just ask that there might be a revelation of anything that is blocking him from receiving the truth of what you say about him. Reveal it to him now. We ask you in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, to come in and make that revelation. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, amen. And you'll step back, right? And somebody will say something like,
I don't know.
Yeah, they'll be like, nothing, right? His was so dope, right? And this is something that I learned from even after Justin, is that then you just keep talking. You don't have to talk about the thing like, oh, nothing. So tell me a little bit about what you're hearing, what you're thinking as I'm talking through all this stuff. And when you give them opportunity to talk, all of a sudden it starts coming out. And they'll name something or speak something or get a revelation of something. You just got to have ears to hear. Anything that doesn't speak according to their created value is deception. Soon as you hear it come out, you with me? It's deception. As soon as it comes out, it's deception. We talking to somebody just last week, right? And we're going through this. And she starts saying, like, hey, so the Holy Spirit tell you anything? She's like, I don't really know. She steps back. I'm like, tell me how this is hitting you. Well, it's just that, you know, I don't know because I just feel like a little bit out of control right now. Like, I need to have a control in my life to make sure everything's... right? So, boom, there it is. So she gave the confession. We honed in on that. And what was it? Control. Control is an obstacle because she's holding on to the reins of her life. You just asked that question. Did you hear it? Like, control. Are you willing to pray this thing out? Yeah. Again, hold hands. Same thing. Wow, she said controller. He said control. It's just, Father, right now, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've revealed. And in Jesus' name, we take this control and we just call it out as a lie for what it is. We call it out as a lie because the control is in you. And we yield control to you. So if you will, I'll just have you pray with me right now. And I'll have them pray with me. And I'll tell them, you know, pray after me. Like, Father,
I come.
And I thank you for what you're doing in my life.
And I thank you for what you're doing in my life.
I long to live in unity with you.
I long to live in unity with you.
And I want to relinquish my control.
And I want to relinquish my control.
I confess that I've held on to control.
I confess that I've held on to control.
And I repent and turn from it now in Jesus' name.
And I repent and turn from it in Jesus' name.
And I surrender it to you.
And I surrender it to you.
And so you do that. Just like really walk them through it, right? And as you walk them through it, you can go back and check again. And more will come up. Mm-hmm. And as more comes up, you just call these things out in Jesus' name. And what's happening, that as they're confessing, the lie is being illuminated, and you're actually giving them a revelation of the strategies of the enemy that he's been using to keep them in bondage. Yeah, speak.
So in addition to this, I think it is helpful that when they identify one of the lies that they're operating under, that you actually give them a solution. That I think that's helpful. Other times what I've been led to do is they identify the lie and say, all right, cool. well, like right now, God's going to reveal to you the truth about what this thing is. And so I'll lead them through a prayer again. Father, thank you. Right now, speak to your daughter, to your son right now. Speak the truth of what it is. And we'll wait. And what this is for me, this is an opportunity to introduce them to the voice of God, for maybe for the first time. This is an opportunity for them to hear for themselves what secret place is like. Because in this moment, they're going to be marked in this moment that, wow, something is happening here. The weight's lifted. My outlook on life has changed. And so when they're in the secret place, they can actually start to recognize the voice of God in this moment.
So like I said, there were seven of them.
Sorry about that.
Nah, you good. Nah, stay there, man. It's all good. Right? That's exactly what he's saying. So then they get a discernment of what Holy Spirit sounds like, right? While at the same time inviting him in. You with me? And then the thing we've been learning, I'm gonna finish at 8:30. It's 8:24. The thing that we've been learning is that then number eight is what we're ushering people into. Once you go through this, now listen. I don't go through this with somebody in a moment and then like, oh, it's all good. Nah, you got to see the revelation and the repentance, right? You actually begin to see this. You discern it, right? And as they receive Holy Spirit and they surrender their lives as they confess and repent, and repenting is like they literally repent in the sense that there's a revelation of the lie that they've been living under and they denounce the lie. That's the confession part. They denounce the lie. And in denouncing and renouncing the lie, that is repentance. You don't have to feel bad in repentance. Repentance can bring you alleviation because you finally know what the lie is, right? Like we've seen that when we're able to name something for somebody, like, what about control? It's like we've seen this happen. Morgan has happened like two or three times where she's named control for people. Yeah, it's control. And you surrender control and they things leave. Like lately there's been revelations of sexual sin in people's lives. And how they're holding on to sexual sin in their private lives. Like having to name that and come to fruition. They're like, yeah, I'm holding on to sexual sin. All right, do you want to live under that? No, then name it. I've been living under and renounce it. And we renounce it and they turn from that lie. Hey, yeah. Listen, we've had experiences now where as we're leading people into confession, the Holy Spirit has revealed to the person that's leading them what this person's struggling with. Straight up. Right? Well, no, we're like, so wordly say, so say I'm leading and I'm we're having this thing, and he's confessing and confessing. Holy Spirit will reveal something, like ask him about this. And you ask, what about this? And I'm like, yeah, how'd you know? I didn't, Holy Spirit. Right? Like, that's a thing. It's a legit thing. It's never outside of this revelation, right? It's never outside of this revelation, but it can happen here because Spirit lives here, right? And what we're speaking from here is in complete agreement with what we see here. Their value, candidate for Holy Spirit, telling them what Jesus did for them, inviting them, right? Leading them through the confession and repentance that they may see it. Let us confess our sins one to another, right? And confess the sin, inviting them into repentance as Holy Spirit does this work, then introducing them to the work of the Holy Spirit, right? And leaving them, like I always leave people with Ephesians. That's my go-to, Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. I ask them to pray that so they might see who they were created to be, right? Blessed be the God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And so I teach them to pray that so that they might get a revelation for themselves when they go to the secret place, right? And as you actually see that, you know what you're actually doing? You're making disciples. And so when people begin to get established in this, they're like, I'm ready. I'm living my life here. I'm ready. What do? Listen, if they hear the story of Jesus Christ, the gospel, and they turn from their sin, what does the Bible tell us is next? I know your theology is wrestling with you right now, but what does the Bible say? What's next? Repent and what? Repent and what? Notice how it's not repent, then take them aside, hold them down for 3 months as you try to give them all the doctrines of your church so that then you can include them in the membership. And I know that's a tough word, but we don't baptize. I ain't never read in this book somebody getting baptized into the Adventist church. They get baptized into Christ. And if what the Adventist church believes is in here, Christ will reveal it to them as we disciple them in truth because they're in Christ. We don't have to bombard them with our Adventism so that we feel better and then justified when we dump them in the water. Deception. Ah, oh, man, this is why I'm going to be a car salesman by the end of this month.
Used cars or new cars?
Yeah, well, we'll see. Whatever the Spirit says. Y'all understand what I'm saying here? And I know some of y'all wrestling with it. I know. But y'all tell me right here, how long people been getting baptized in Jesus' name? How long? About 2,000 years, yeah? How long they been getting baptized and then getting into Adventist membership? You think the baptisms before 1862 are somehow invalid? And what did they baptism? What did they baptize them in for this 1862 years? Well, actually, let's subtract 31. 1831 years. What did they baptize into? Christ. We baptize into Christ. And you know what gives you firm ground to baptize somebody into Christ? When you know gospel, freedom from sin, healing in Jesus' name, confession, repentance. Like those have to be clear. If you don't have those clear, don't put somebody in the water. But once those things are clear, why are we holding people up? Like, we can teach them about what the Bible says about the dead. We could teach them about what the Bible says about the prophetic. But that's not to be the thing they have to assent to before they go into the water. What they have to assent to is reveal their value, receive their value, freedom from sin, healing in Jesus' name, life in the Spirit, confession, repentance, right? Hebrews 6. Oh, I got about a minute and a half. No. We got more. Watch. Look at this. Things my Bible says as the Spirit moves. Hebrews 6. Watch what he calls this. You there? Hebrews 6, verse 1. From now on, therefore. No, that's not it. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, and of instructions about washings, that's baptisms, right? The laying on of hands, the resurrection, and eternal judgment. So he gives us this list of things that we leave behind because they're the elementary things, and we grow into way more. Notice what one of the elementary things is. The washings. Because it's at the beginning. Because you have to baptize them into the death of Christ so that they might come up to life in Christ. And then you teach them all the things about Christ because they're in Christ. And if they so decide that they want to be members of this here faith tradition and of this expression of the body of Christ, God be praised. But we do not baptize people into the Adventist church. We baptize people into Christ. The Adventist church died for nobody. We receive them into membership. Don't be afraid to baptize somebody who might not want to be a member. No, I might not come back. But listen, listen, this is why, here's the thing. We never, ever deviate from holiness. Like, listen, I actually think the biblical benchmark for baptism is way harder than what the Adventists, than what we have as Adventists. Because you have to be receiving freedom from sin to be baptized, according to Scripture. You have to know. You're leaving an old life behind. This ain't about, oh, well, sometimes like this and sometimes like that. Nah, this here thing is lifelong commitment in service to righteousness because you've been accounted righteousness. If you're not willing to renounce the world, you ain't really ready to get in the water. Amen. So whose expectation is higher? When you get in that water, it's a renunciation of the world. For whoever is friends with the world is an enemy of God. It's in the book.
But we'll baptize people because they agree with us doctrinally and don't know a thing about living in holiness. We cannot do that. This here thing is too precious for us to bring people in so that we could swell numbers. This thing is too precious. The blood of the Lamb was spilt for this. This is holiness. And if you ain't down, it's all good. We'll still be here when you are. First Peter, and I'm going to finish here. I ain't never prayed somebody back to life. I don't want to run the risk, you know. I'm going to try to get Eddie on FaceTime. Eddie, he's not breathing. What? I know, man, but sometimes help my unbelief. No, you're right. Watch this. You in 1 Peter? Watch this, verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. What if we taught that before going in the waters? Because we teach that before going in the waters. Yeah, hey, this thing's for real. It's repentance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways you inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. What is it that we present to people? Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is what ransomed us. So going in the water ain't no cheap thing. You're putting a thing to death. And if you ain't ready to die, you ain't ready to get in the water. But we try to tell you, hurry up and die. And if you call on him now, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Jesus, like a lamb without blemish or spot, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in this last time for your sake, who through him we are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincerely brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. I mean, you read this stuff, and this is a sober call to holiness. So this is what we've been finding in our time together. Here's how we're going to close up. Let's close up quick. I hope you've heard me speak this to y'all over the last course of however many months. I hope that you know from my heart, I see every last one of us as this, if we're not. I hope that you've heard from my heart and that you've seen me constantly elevate this. Right? And I hope that you've seen in our ministry that we've called into confession, into invitation. And even in wave two, we called into confession and repentance. Right? So this is what we want to do again. Just in these last 5 minutes, I want to invite you to have a time of prayer. Here's what the time of prayer is going to be. You're going to ask the Lord to come and speak a word to whoever that needs to hear a word in this place. And if you hear a word, if you're encouraged to share it with the people, the word that you heard, so they might know that the Spirit is active, cool. If not, cool. But we're going to do this thing in real time. And ask the Spirit of the living God to speak to his people. Precisely because you've heard gospel, you heard your value, and candidate to Holy Spirit, there's an invitation. Who wants to hear from the Lord? All right? And so we want to put that, right? And so, listen, again, we don't do this so that I got to have this big booming thing in my head. Nah, just in Jesus' name, right? Look how cute that is. So that's what we want to do. Is that okay?
All right. Let's pray. Father God, right now, as the people we come thanking you for the cross, thanking you for your work on our behalf, thanking you for giving up all of heaven because you found us worthy. We thank you that you long to make your home in our lives, and that it is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And there are many of us here who are living in the abundance of walking with you, and we thank you for that. There's some of us here who want to live clearly in relationship with you. And there might be some obstacles in the way presently. And Holy Spirit, you're in the business of speaking truth and exposing the lies in Jesus as it is in Jesus. And so right now, just as I pray, Lord, in this ministry of intercession, just want to give you permission, Holy Spirit, to come in and speak whatever it is that you will speak, whether it be comfort, whether it be conviction, into the lives of your people right now, that they might hear truth and that they might sense your presence and love. So Holy Spirit, now, if there's anybody here that needs a confession or comfort, Holy Spirit, speak now and speak a word to your people. Speak now, Holy Spirit, to your people. Speak now. So Father, we thank you, and we receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Is there anybody that would be willing to share?
To live like children. As I heard the little kid laughing and talking, I know I heard somewhere in Scripture that along the lines that children, the kingdom of God is given to children, right? Mm-hmm. That means for me to live like a child, you know, to laugh and to not take things so seriously. And,
It's good.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's just what I heard.
My man. My man.
God has been talking to me a lot about springtime this week with the blossoms. It's actually been kind of quiet in the secret place for the past several weeks, and I've been a little grieved by that. But today, I mean, he's just been talking to me about things blooming and growing, and he just said to me, "Your heart is blooming like a rose," and I had this image of a rose and just like how a rose goes around and around, and there's like a deep, deep center of it, and that's like just all of the life and the beauty that comes from that deep place.
Mm. Amen. Amen. Sister.
Amen. So, hey, everybody. Amen. Praise you, Lord God, for allowing me to be here tonight. So something God has been speaking to me is about relationships. And I do not do denominations. I'm sorry. I do relationship. So something that I've been hearing is relationships. So relationship with Jesus Christ is what it's all about. It's not about the not, because I don't, you can hear in my.
So yeah, whatever you heard.
You can hear in my voice. I am from the South, so I am not from this area. No. But we don't, it's not about denominations. It's about relationship. Yeah. And that's relationship with Jesus Christ. So what he touched on tonight, the relationship building with him and relationship building with people. They not going to look like you. They not going to talk like you. They not going to smell like you. It's about getting outside of our comfort zone to build those relationships. When we get outside of our comfort zone and be able to touch one another as humans, as a relationship, then that and the spirit that lives within us is going to draw people unto him. Amen. Not Seventh-day Adventist, not Baptist, not Pentecostal, but it's going to be a relationship.
That's what you heard. Amen. Relationship. That's all right. You know, it gets good.
My word was pursue, but not pursuing like a boyfriend pursues a girlfriend who's hoping that he doesn't get rejected somewhere along the line where security isn't actually an element of the relationship, but pursue like a husband pursues a wife. You don't pursue a relationship that isn't there, but you pursue intimacy and the depth of relationship in security.
Mm. What's going on here? Yeah? You all right? Yeah? Yeah? In Jesus' name?
I heard worthiness.
Mm.
Oh, come on. Let's go. Deep in the core.
I am worthy of his love.
That's right. Oh, man, wait. No. Your name, sister?
Victoria.
Victorious in your worthiness, huh? In Jesus' name. Victoria, can we just pray for you right now? Anybody come into agreement with this prayer right now? In Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you so much for your faithfulness to reveal this truth to Victoria right now. We thank you so much that you reveal truth of her worthiness. And right now, Father, we cast every single lie that would speak contrary to her value and her worth in Jesus' name. Every single strategy of the enemy that has said that she is not worthy, every single person that has spoke contrary to this worthiness, we reveal it as a lie, for it wasn't keeping and speaking with her destiny and created value. So right now, Father, we just ask the Holy Spirit that you reveal to her more and more of her worthiness, that she catch a revelation of how great your love is, so that she might stand fast in her worthiness because of your love. So we thank you for this revelation right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So she has a Holy Spirit-filled son who's going to continue to reveal and talk, but this is what we're talking about. Like, it literally happened in front of y'all. Right, my brother? What'd he say to you?
No words, but feeling peace.
Yeah? Yeah. Right?
And his love.
And his love?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that revelation just comes. I mean, how does the Spirit work?
Ooh.
Right? Like sometimes it's without words. It's like a mighty rushing wind or like a soft wind. Right? But it manifests. Y'all see what we're talking about, y'all? I guess for real. I mean, I look at Pam. Man, what God did for you, huh?
That was the marks.
That was the marks.
That was the confession of the marks.
The confession of the marks, and now living in confidence, worthy and beautiful in Jesus' name, right? It's a thing, y'all. It's a thing, right? So, and we have to do all of this to break it down so that we can get past the natural and let it just open. Right? Like it's a thing. And here's the beautiful thing about it is that every last one of us has the privilege of stewarding this ministry and this mystery so that people might understand worthiness, that people might have a revelation to speak about relationship and the strength of that. Right? That, yeah? Is that all right? All right. Let's begin to wrap it up. Yeah? Ray, come on. Oh, the board. Okay. All right. We're going to sing a song. And then I guess that's what we're doing. We're singing a song. All right. All right. So I went longer than I said I was going to, but not as long as y'all expected as much. Yeah. All right. Let's pray together. Father God, we just thank you for your faithfulness and for example of you reaching in and speaking a word to us
And I know that there were many in this place that received the word, and they treasure it in their hearts, and they hold it in there. And we thank you for it, and that they might see and hear and understand that that word that you speak to them is in agreement with the implanted word that you put in there through Spirit that's able to save our souls. Father, I pray that we might pursue this in the secret place, that we might learn what it is that you sound like, so that we can speak to others, that we could just cast seed wherever and just let seed fall. And because within the seed is the life, right? So I pray for each and every single one of my brothers and sisters here at PVC, that we might be encouraged and that we might understand that you're seeking to commune with us, and that we might have it, and we do have it. We do have it, and we thank you that we have it. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen.